Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode next. I don't know what episode it is. Might be 120 or a 121. It has been a while. I did not mean to have a podcast anniversary and then just disappear, but I did. And mostly, I was disappeared by Little League Baseball. It got very intense there. So the last 3 weeks, two of were spent either taking my children to the pool or going to Little League games. Harrowing Little League games. We won, except for the last one, which was the Mayor's Cup. Will played for South Durham Little League. His team won their division champs, and all the division champs from South Durham Little League play all the division champs, the corresponding division champs, North Durham Little League. South Durham Little League always gets whomped. Will's team did not get whomped, but they did lose. It was like 10-8. I only was there for part of the game because I had a writing assignment over at the Durham Bulls, so I had to leave, which was good because I just started getting so anxious about the games, even though we were doing really well. And we were playing very well at the Mayor's Cup when I left, but we didn't win. It's too bad, but it was a good season. Yay. But that was all very consuming. And then this past week, we went to Ocracoke. We took our annual vacation to Ocracoke. It was lovely. We had really good weather. Not that I would complain if we didn't. We had variable weather, which was actually quite nice. Friday, for instance, it rained almost all the day, but we played Scrabble and chilled out and watched Lord of the Rings, you know, and had a really good time. It's raining today. It's been raining here ever since we got back, and I think we have one more day, and I think it's supposed to clear up 4th of July, which will be nice, and then we will have a humid bath of humidity, yes, which will make our skin quite lovely. That's why we don't complain, because the weather makes us lovely. But I have to tell you, I have not done any sewing. And in fact, I don't even know what pictures I'm going to post with this. I'll post some pictures from my vacation or something, because I've done no work on any quilts. And before I started recording this, I see Will. What is Will doing? Oh, he's cutting stuff. Okay. Of course, now that I've started recording, everyone's ignored me all morning, but everyone will now come find me and need me. That's how it goes. Anyway, before I started recording, I was actually in my sewing area, otherwise known as the dining room, living room, and starting to get things straightened out. I am going to sew today. I'm going to work on the mosaic quilt. I am also going to look for a pattern. I want to make a quilt for my friend Catherine's newest baby, Oliver. And I want to do nice quilts. You know, I made Abigail, Oliver's sister. Oliver has actually three siblings, but Abigail must be two, maybe three. Gosh, anyway, you know what? I bet it's three, because I think when I made Abigail quilt, I just started podcasting, and it wasn't a very good quilt, so Oliver's quilt's going to be much nicer. Anyway, I think I'm going to go... Oh, now I can't remember. There's a very cute little quilting blog. I want to say something like Quilting Chicken. What is it? I don't know. But anyway, she has a lot of patterns for baby quilts, sort of nice modern patterns. So I think that I will find a pattern and maybe, I hope, use scraps to do that, because I don't really want to spend money right now. We just spent a week spending money. So now I'm feeling very thrifty. Like, I have many, many scraps. But I have lots of stuff to work on. I just need to get back in the saddle. But yeah, it's just been, you know, this is where summer really starts for me, after we get back from Ocracoke. And again, had a nice week. It's interesting, because I felt like this trip to Ocracoke, you know, we go to Ocracoke. This is our third year in a row as a family. The man and I have been going for years. The first time we went was like in the spring of 92. So we've been going for like 20 years, not every summer, but have gone many times. And it's interesting to me because I feel like the village is really changing. And I think partly it's just a change in the economy. You know, Ocracoke is a fishing village, and the fishing industry is really suffering for many reasons, environmental reasons, policy changes, what have you. So people aren't staying, young people are not staying in Ocracoke. They can't make a living doing it. And what was interesting is when I was there, I ended up interviewing this couple that come, our house is very close to the village. It's on Creek. Oh, somebody's pulling up and Travis is being ferocious. It's okay, Trav. Good boy. Yes, you are a good watchdog. Come here. I'll pet you. Yes. Anyway, our house is on Creek Street, and the house we rent, it's not our house. And every year, every day, every year, anyway, when we are there, at 3 p.m., this truck pulls up, and this couple sells shrimp and clam and oysters out of their truck. And so I went down this year because I'm working on some, you know, I contribute to the North Carolina Folklife Institute's food blog. And I'll interview them. And I had talked with the woman last year, just had walked by and she was reading a book and chatted with her. And it turned out her son was a student at North Carolina School of Science and Math, which is here in Durham. So anyway, so I went down, took my little audio recorder and interviewed, actually interviewed James, the husband, who's a native Ocracoker, and has this, what's called the Ocracoke brogue. It's a little bit hard to understand. It's very old, I don't know. I mean, it's very tidewater, you know, if that means anything to you. But anyway, so I was interviewing him, and Ellen, his wife, didn't want to be interviewed, although she talked a little bit, but James is the native. He was 70, grew up in Ocracoke. And actually what we ended up talking a lot about was not so much their business, which is, again, I don't understand, clams, I guess you dig. They dig their own clams. They have acreage. They have clamage. And then they buy the shrimp that, you know, comes off the boats and in the early afternoon, and then they sell it. And so we talked a little about their business and about them. Ellen's actually from Baltimore and came down in the early 70s as a college student and met James and stayed. Actually, I think she finished college, but then she has lived in Ocracoke for about 40 years. They've been married 40 years. So, but we talked a lot about how the village has changed, and I asked, one of the things that I noticed this year was really weird, golf carts everywhere. And usually, and for years and years, you go and you know, people drive. It's not one of these places where you can't have a car, but it's, most people get around on bike. And this year, it just seemed like all these golf carts, and there was this new golf cart rental concern on the main drag. And so I was asking them, I'm like, is it just me, or has it gotten really golf carty around here? And it's like, no, they're like against the golf carts, which I am too. There's something about, it's just like, ride a bike. You know, people need, I mean, if you're 80, sure, rent the golf cart, which, by the way, $275 to rent a golf cart for a week. You know, but there's something about it, you know, especially as a bike rider, because they're not very loud, and all of a sudden there's this vehicle up behind you. But, you know, I don't know. It just seems what's wrong with this country is golf carts. But also just, I don't know. It's gotten more touristy, and like now there's this inn. You know, it's not a nice inn, but an inn on the corner of Lighthouse Road and Highway 12. And now they have a big flag. It's like, get your Cokehead T-shirt here. So I'm having to explain to my, you know, 10-year-old son, what's a Cokehead? I didn't actually explain to him what a Cokehead was, but I'm just like, so it's become that kind of thing. You know, it's like there's the old general store. It was the Albert Styron store. And, of course, you can do the acronym yourself. And so that's the, you know, get your A period S period, you know, S period. I think, is that too many S's? I don't know. In here, that's, you know, what their sign on the side. You know, so it's getting like that. And you're just kind of like, man. The good news is it's still really beautiful. The beach is still National Seashore. So the ton of it is protected land. And in fact, I started taking walks in the morning on this, there's this preserve, a nature preserve, that you walk out, and it's, you know, it's a very short, like, quarter mile trail, but through this really interesting woods. You know, if you've ever been on islands where there's actual, where there's trees, but, you know, everything's kind of twisted and turned around and stunted, and I mean, it's really kind of magical and eerie. And then you go out to this point, and you can, actually one of the surprising things to me too is a lot of people were going, it's a beach, it's not a nice beach, but a lot of people were going out there to use it as a beach, which is fine. But so that was really nice. And so I felt like this year kind of enjoyed it more for the nature aspect. I walked a lot and took a lot of bike rides, and Will got all interested. We had frogs, and we had tree frogs and big frogs and a turtle and all this stuff. So Will got into that too. You know, and Jack does a lot of bike riding. So I felt like that I was much more kind of into that than into the village life, which just feels kind of not as nice as it used to be. Although the bookstore is still there, books to be read, R-E-D, still can't figure that one out. And, you know, and which is, and then it's a wonderful bookstore, other than they don't carry my books, and I've not yet worked up the nerve to say, why don't you carry my books? Will says he's going to go in there and tell him to, but he hasn't yet. Anyway, it was a good week. Lots of walking, lots of biking, lots of eating of pimento cheese, lots of Scrabble playing. Everyone pretty much got along. There was, you know, entrance on these things sometimes can be rough, sort of getting in, you know, especially for Will, who really needs a routine. And then exiting, everyone's kind of tired. You know, it's like that last day, and you're just kind of, you've had a good time, but you're just tired and ready to go home. And at the same time, you know, for the man, of course, thinking about making that transition to work and all of that. So, but it was a good week. But now I'm ready to be home. And when I finish up with this, which will probably be soon, because I don't have any quilting news to tell you, I am going to get quilting, which I'm excited about. And I'm not going to make any promises. Like, I'll be back next week. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. I just don't know. I don't know what the summer's going to be. I don't. I thought I did, and I don't. I do want to tell you, I am almost done with an amazing book. It's called Let the Great World Spin by Colum McCann. It won the National Book Award, I think, in 2009. And it's more a collection of linked stories than a novel. It's really not a novel, but the stories, for the most part, are linked. It takes place, I think it's 1973, whenever Philippe Pettit walked the line between the Twin Towers. Do you remember that? Have you seen the documentary Man on a Wire? Very, very cool stuff. And the chapters about him are amazing, beautiful. But that event links the stories, and almost all the stories in some way or another are connected to that event. There's an author's interview in the back, which I haven't read all of it because I don't want any spoilers, but McCann wrote this in response to 9/11. He lives in New York, and he talks in this interview about having his father-in-law was in the one of the towers, but got out. But when he came up to McCann's apartment, and McCann said his daughter said, you know, Grandpa, you smell like you're on fire. You know, and he just had, his clothes all smelled like smoke. And in fact, he got rid of the suit, but he left the shoes in McCann's apartment, and McCann still has the shoes, you know, with the ashes on them. So I think he had been wanting to write something about 9/11, but needed a way into it. And it turned out, you know, the Pettit, and I don't know if that's how you say it. I think it's Philippe, and I think it's Pettit. Yeah, his walking the wire between the two towers. I don't know. Are you familiar with that? So again, I think it was 1973, and he was a high wire walker, and I know there's a name for that, and I can't think of what it is, but and he arranged it somehow to get a wire from one tower to the other, and he was up there for like an hour. He walked the wire for an hour and like laid down on the wire and jumped. I mean, he was just brilliant at it, and you know, of course, crowds gathered and people were expecting him to fall, and he did not. So I have not I've watched that documentary a while back, and I'm going to watch it again when I finish the book. It's really good. I mean, it's tough. It's not an easy read. It's not necessarily a difficult read. It's not something. It didn't take me. It wasn't one of those books where it took like 50 pages to get into it. But it was intense, and so I've read it slowly. So that was really good. I'm reading. It's funny. The books that I took with me, I only finished one. Astonished by Beverly D'Onofrio, who wrote the book Riding in Cars with Boys, which I have not read. I've not seen the movie either. But I just saw this at the library and grabbed it. And it's really good. It's so essentially, she's, I guess now is in her mid-50s, and she was living in Mexico. When she was in her 40s, she was a lapsed Catholic and was doing a piece, maybe for NPR, had been following around sightings of Mary, and ended up going to Bosnia. And her faith had been somewhat reignited, although not entirely. So, but anyway, by the time she writes this book, by the time Astonished, she's fully converted, although probably a little new agier than some Catholics. And she's living in Mexico, and she was raped in her home by a serial rapist who was attacking white women. And what was interesting is that she started praying in Spanish. So he, you know, when it was over and he wasn't leaving, and she started, I guess, saying Hail Mary in Spanish, and he left. And he later, he was caught, maybe a short time later, and she testified at the trial, whatever. But of course, there were, you know, there were a lot of psychic and emotional ramifications of this. And she had been, actually, when this happened, was in the process of looking for, she was considering joining, becoming a novitiate at a convent or a monastery. And she had been researching places she wanted to go and see. And in the aftermath, she does go. She goes to, I think, 3 or 4 places. And so a lot of the story is about going to these places. And she did end up being a novitiate at a place, I think, in Colorado for 4 years, is where she wrote the book. She's not there now. But it's an amazing book. It's a real spiritual journey. And I liked it and thought of many people right off the bat to recommend it to. So I did finish that. I was also reading Kevin Young's The Gray Album, which is, I think the subtitle is The Blackness of Blackness. And it is really interesting. The first chapter, he really looks at, I don't even know how to explain it, to be honest. It's about African-American culture and African-American survival. He's a poet. He's an amazing poet. But the first chapter, he's writing about literature. He's writing about what he calls storying, 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 which is another word for lying, but not quite the same as lying. Talking about what he calls counterfeit traditions, and just it's really amazing stuff. But again, I can read about 5 or 10 pages at a time, and that's, you know, and some of it is it's harder. It's somewhat difficult, but it's really, really interesting. And then I'm also about 3/4 away through of Wendell Berry's latest collection of stories, A Place and Time. And I love Wendell Berry, and I love these stories, but I just feel like they're best taken slowly. You just don't want to read them too fast, not only because you want to savor them, but also, you know, it's just they deserve a careful and slow reading. So, and I read magazines and various things, there are other things. Oh, I read. I'm reading a great book. It's by my neighbor. It's called the Green Imagination. Is that what it's called? I don't have it in front of me. My neighbor's name is Anthony Weston. He's a professor of philosophy and environmental studies at Elon University, which is down the road a bit. And it's a great, if you're concerned about climate change and global warming, it is the only book that I've ever read on climate change and global warming that actually made me happy. Not necessarily that the climate is changing, but just his ideas, his thoughts. And it's like, how, you know, about adaptation, which, you know, I mean, the climate is changing, and we can argue about why that is. And one of the things that I like about Anthony's book is he's basically, it's like, yeah, the science really seems to suggest that climate is changing, and the causes, you know, it's just are man-made, but we, you know, you don't know for sure. There seems to be a correlation between the amount of CO2 being pumped into the environment and the heat and the rising temperatures, but correlation is not causation. So he's very politic in that way, and that's one of the things that I appreciate about him, is that he's like saying, all right, here's what's going on. We can't say for sure, but we know that we all want clean air and clean water, and that we're going to have to adapt, that to some extent things are not going back to what they were. And his ideas are really, really neat and exciting. And so I think it's called The Green Imagination. I'll write these down on my blog, which will not have pictures of quilts. Oh, dear. We've got sawing going on. It's raining, and it's been raining, and still someone was leaf blowing this morning at 8. I'm like, how can you even get the leaves to blow? I do not know. Yeah, so that's a good book. That's a good book. I'm reading another book. Can't remember the author. It's called The Commons, and it's really about all these things that we, as people, hold in common. The whole notion that, you know, we hold the air in common and water. Oh, here's Will. Hold on. I'm gonna pause. All right, I'm back. Don't remember where I was. Just talking about, yeah, the commons, the things we hold in common: air, water, stories, things like that, and the importance of not letting these things be corporatized or letting monetary concerns ruin them. So it's a short book. It's good. I'm about to finish that. So that's where I am, book-wise. Again, I'll write these things down. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to be walking and talking, walking and talking to get away from that sound. I should have closed the door. That would help. Okay, I'm in the man's study. Well, we'll finish this off and or up or what have you. Yeah, we are, again, it's a rainy day, no pool. So I think this afternoon Jack's going to go to a program over at the library on manga and anime, which he's very interested in. And Will and I are going to go to the pet store near the Target to look at snakes. Will's gotten very interested in snakes. Don't know that the man is going to let him get one. I wouldn't mind if he got like a little corn snake or something. That would be fine. But yeah, maybe a harder sell with the man. So that's our big plan for the day, along with, that's right, quilting. So I hope I will be back soon with pictures and projects and quilty news. I hope you are having a good summer so far. Stay cool or stay warm, stay dry, go jump in a lake, whatever suits your needs at this very moment. Do what it takes to take care of you. Yes, that's not going to be my closing either. I'll work on it. Hope you're doing fine. Talk to you soon. Bye.